It's 9 a.m., but it feels like Ted's place isn't open. I've yet to see any employee. I've heard stories about these places, how they keep big cats in small enclosures, how the animals often have ingrown nails and 0% fat. I have the urge to call out, "Mom," as if I'm coming home after a long day. We find a man feeding a seal. "Where are your birds?" I ask, "specifically your African gray." "We have two," he says, "over by the vending machine." "I need the one named Carney," I say, "the one you received from the Red Oak Bird Sanctuary." "I think it's the one on the left," he says. "They all look alike." I hone in on Carney's knowing eye. He looked like the same bird, though his eyes had yellowed and his gray feathers had worn thin around his neck. "Carney," I say. "Carney, good boy. What do you want for dinner?" I pull out a pack of sunflower seeds I had purchased down the road. I look at the white down on the bird's chest and think, Mom's voice is in there. Ike closes in on the cage. He waves his hands in front of the parrot's face. "Carney," I ask, "want to sing some Patsy?" For a half hour, Ike and I coo and speak and dance, but the bird doesn't say a word. Beneath this wall of gray feathers is the last shard of my mother, and I feel myself growing increasingly desperate. How thick was her accent? Was her singing as beautiful as I remember? She always spoke sweetly to Carney, and I wanted to hear that sugary tone, the one she hadn't used with me in her last years. "How do you know this is the right bird?" Ike asks. "I did my research," I say, and he hates me. He's spiting me with silence. "Please talk," Ike says to Carney. Carney bobs his head up and down and bites his leg, a gesture that strikes me as the bird equivalent of thumbing one's nose. "Just say something," I think. "Anything. Just let me hear her again." I'm surprised when I remember phone numbers and the alphabetical listing of all 50 states, but I can't recall the funny way Mom said roof or Clorox, not the rhyme she used to say about bad breath, or the sound of the way she said goodnight. The longer Carney goes without talking, the more I miss her. The morning we moved Mom into a home, the plumber came for Carney. Mom's possessions had been boxed up and her furniture sold. She'd prepared a box for Carney that contained his food, toys, water dish, spare newsprint, and a fabric square from one of her dresses. "So he remembers me," she said.